I'm looking forward to our program today. And before starting, I'd like to extend a heartfelt thank you to all of the White Cane Awareness Day Planning Committee members for all of your work this year putting it together, and to all of the volunteers who are helping out today. If you need assistance with Human Guide during the event, please raise your hand and a volunteer will be able to assist you. And just a quick note, if you are planning to receive ACV REP credits for today's event, you will be able to receive your certificate of completion at the end of today's session by visiting the MCB welcome table in the hallway just outside the main entrance of the Great Hall. Samantha will be stationed there to distribute certificates. So at this time, I'm delighted to introduce the newly appointed commissioner of the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind, John Oliveira.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Wow. We're here to, I have to adjust the microphone here since Allie had it a little too low for me. So I put the white cane away here, and that's what we're here to celebrate today, white cane. And good morning, and happy White Cane Awareness Day, and happy White Cane Awareness Month. And glad to have everyone here. It's a bit chilly out there today, but it's going to be a great event inside, and we have a lot of great folks coming up to present, and so we'll get on with the show here. So I'm excited to be back in person here after 4 years. We are proud to celebrate the independence and the mobility of legally blind residents of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Zoom was great, but the in-person is a little bit better, so a lot better, actually. So we, on October 6th, 1964, a joint resolution by the United States Congress authorized the President of the United States to proclaim the October 15th as the year of the white cane safety. So that proclamation was set up so that every year the day October 15th would be it. My fingers are so cold from being outside. I'm struggling with reading the Braille here, for crying out loud. But it was quite a little chillier than I expected. So after hours of passage of the resolution, the President Lyndon Johnson went ahead and signed the first White Cane Safety Day proclamation. And that started the whole White Cane Day, and over time the White Cane has shifted to not solely a mobility tool, but a powerful tool of independence and equality. Thus, MCB has chosen to refer to this day as White Cane Awareness Day as opposed to White Cane Safety Day. And you'll see why in a minute. So October 15th falls on Sunday this year, so we're here celebrating with you today. So here we are, 59 years later, President Lyndon Johnson's proclamation and the efforts to continue to educate the public regarding the white cane. And also in Massachusetts, we have a white cane law. We will hear more about that law later in the program. I personally use a white cane. I and probably many others in the room can spend hours telling you about the story, the situations our white cane has got us out of as we use our skills. But it is a tool that, as far as I'm concerned, one should not leave home without it. And it is something that is very useful and very much needed. We have many consumers who, when they become legally blind or starting to lose their vision, are very hesitant about using the white cane. Well, often after that hesitancy comes around and they meet other individuals, or unfortunately they have an accident and they fall or hurt themselves, they miss a step, then the white cane becomes much more a tool that they're interested in using. So universally, the cane is recognizing as a leading symbol of blindness. The white cane allows people who are legally blind or visually impaired to navigate through the environment around them and to move in other communities around their state. And many of us use the cane to go and travel around the world in different countries. And I've used it in many different times. And believe me, it comes in very, very handy. And one thing I've noticed in countries outside of the United States, you rarely see a blind person traveling with a white cane. You know, I'll give you a short example. I walked down out of my room at the hotel and went down to the hotel bar and sat there. And some of the people on the trip were quite accustomed to seeing it. But some of the regulars that lived in that town, this was in Italy, were very very surprised to see a blind person traveling with a white cane independently by themselves. And that's what the white cane does. It gives you the independence, it gives you the confidence so that you can, using your skills and the training that you receive, you can use that to navigate almost anywhere that you need to go. The white cane law has been in existence in Massachusetts since 1949. It is an effort to educate drivers. So by learning about the white cane law, drivers can have the ability to be creating a safer, inclusive community for everyone, including people who are legally blind. It is amazing sometimes when you are approaching a street, a corner, the cars keep going by, and you have to pay very close attention to the cars and make sure that they are in fact seeing your cane and are stopping as the law directs them to. But it's also important that our staff here at the agency are out there training and are providing our consumers with the skills that they need. So pedestrian awareness and safety and advocacy for that, for our consumers, is really the focus of today. But as we move forward, it is a year-round endeavor for MCB's staff. Our mobility staff works extremely hard and works in all different parts of the state, works in many different communities, and they are really trying to get our legally blind consumers to the point where they're safe and feel comfortable as they move through their neighborhoods. Our certified orientation and mobility specialists, we call them COMS, do a wonderful job. And we have many stories, receive many stories of consumers relaying to us how they felt after they received the training and what they've been able to accomplish. The orientation mobility instructors, they conduct some unique needs assessments so that they evaluate if you need a white cane. They also evaluate if you need a support cane. And we also provide dog guide recommendations if someone is interested in going to a dog guide school to so that the school is aware of their level of ability to use a cane, because someone who uses a dog guide is always expected to use a cane, because if your dog is sick, and like our friend Carl Richardson here is without a dog at this point, he is using a cane. So you always have to keep your skills up, and it's always good to keep that up, so when if your dog is ill one day, he or she can take the day off and rest up and recover, and you have the cane and you're very, very comfortable using it. So the COMS also provide an individual plan for each consumer. So they look at your skills, they look at your needs, and they evaluate. And they say, okay, you need some training in your neighborhood. You're interested in training around your workplace. You're interested in training in a community that's not where you live, but is someplace where you travel frequently. And so our O&M instructors, or comms, work closely with the consumer and agree to a plan that that they're going to use to provide the training. So we must use this day to build momentum and go forward after this observance today, use it as a springboard so that this endeavor to continue to educate the public becomes a year-round occurrence. And we will, as we do that, it will continue to make our streets much more accessible for people who are legally blind or visually impaired. So the Healy Driscoll administration agrees and is pleased to issue a gubernatorial proclamation that officially recognizes Sunday, October 15th, 2023, as White Cane Day awareness in Massachusetts. So I am pleased to now I'm pleased to welcome the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kate Walsh, to read the Governor's Proclamation.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Commissioner, and happy White Cane Awareness Day, everyone. I'm very honored to join you at this celebration. For 59 years now, as John said, White Cane Day has been there to honor the autonomy and self-sufficiency and of people who are blind and visually impaired. And it also supports your curiosity and your ability to enjoy life. Because it's not only a mobility tool, it's a very important symbol of self-reliance. The white cane provides people who are blind and visually impaired with the freedom to move about. And as John describes, to move around the world independently. And we all want to and have a right to an independent and fulfilling life. And that includes the ability to move safely from place to place when you want. White Cane Day is also a chance to raise awareness to help the safety, the awareness of the non-visually impaired like me, so that we can make the world safer for our blind and visually impaired neighbors. The White Cane Law requires Massachusetts drivers to stop for pedestrians using a white cane or a guide dog at street crossings. It's a really critical safety member for 30,000 people across the state who are visually impaired. These are our family members, our neighbors, and our friends. I'm very proud on behalf of Governor Healy to read a little bit from the proclamation. Proclamation has a lot of wherefores and whys, and it's in this big, beautiful binder, but I'll read the most important parts of it. Whereas every citizen of the Commonwealth has the right to lead a full, productive, and independent life, one which includes education, productive employment, and access to the community. And whereas, by allowing every citizen who is blind to move freely and safely from place to place, a white cane enhances an individual's potential for full participation in society. And whereas, the law requires that motorists come to a full stop. Oh, whoop, I skipped one. I skipped a whereas, sorry. Whereas, we recognize the importance of orientation and mobility training for children and adults learning how to use a white cane and to access the community. And whereas, the law requires that motorists come to a full stop when a pedestrian using a cane or a guide dog is crossing the street. And whereas, through public awareness, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts encourages all citizens to recognize the white cane as a tool of independence for pedestrians who are blind. Now, therefore, I, not Maura T. Healy, Governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, do hereby proclaim October 15th, 2023, to be White Cane Awareness Day and urge all residents of the Commonwealth to take cognizance of this event and participate fittingly in its occurrence. Congratulations.
Thank you, Secretary Walsh. We're so glad you could join us today. At this time, I would like to welcome up Senator Kennedy and Representative Livingstone, who are the co-chairs of the Joint Committee of Children and Families and Persons with Disabilities.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day to be with you here in community at the State House. As was mentioned, my name is Robin Kennedy. I'm the state senator representing the beautiful city of Worcester and surrounding communities. And I am incredibly proud. Thank you. Incredibly proud to be here as the co-chair of the Joint Committee on Children, Families, and Persons with Disabilities. I want to extend a personal congratulations to the commissioner. As I was saying earlier, I don't know that I've ever seen such a resounding celebration of the appointment of a commissioner to any agency. And I appreciate that, and you hear it again today. And I look forward to our work together and the work with all the agencies within the Executive Office and Health and Human Services. We have much work ahead of us to do. I would be remiss if I didn't give a personal shout out as well to my friends from Worcester who are here today, Liz Miska and Peg and Jack who are here and other members of our community. I'm incredibly grateful to be in community with these individuals. Liz Miska has been a champion of white cane awareness for many years, and through her work in advocacy, I've had the opportunity to participate as both being blindfolded as well as serving as a sighted guide. As much as we can strive to lead with empathy, until we take the opportunity to understand others' experiences, we'll never truly, truly understand the world in which we live in and how barriers exist unintentionally or without effort to address them. And so it's incredibly important, the advocacy that you're doing through White Cane Awareness, to make sure that all of us can understand your experiences, can truly walk in your shoes, live in that, and to be, see where we can continuously strive to make our world, our communities, more safe, more accessible, and more welcoming for every resident in our Commonwealth. So thank you so much. Happy White Cane Awareness, and I look forward to our work together. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. My name is Jay Livingstone. I'm the state representative for the 8th Suffolk District, which you're in right now. So not only welcome to the State House, welcome to my state representative district. I represent the West End, Beacon Hill, Back Bay in Fenway in Boston. And I too am honored to be here with all of you. You know, when I became the chair this term of the Committee on Children, Families, and Persons with Disabilities, I took that responsibility incredibly serious. And when people think about the chairs, they think about the legislation that they try to push, the laws we try to make. But there's an important oversight aspect as well. And when I was first made chair, one of the first issues was the Commission on Blind. But I was amazed at the swiftness with which the Healy-Driscoll administration and Secretary Walsh stepped in, and the resounding cheer when Commissioner Oliveira was made commissioner. And as I've spoken to him in his role as commissioner, I perfectly understand it, because he is so committed to helping this community and bringing his personal experience to bear into the government to have all of us understand what we should be doing. Also, I'm pleased to work with Senator Kennedy in, you know, for our committee hearings, because of our oversight for disability issues in the legislature. We've tried to make our committee hearings as accessible as you can in the State House. And we're joined by Carl Richardson, who without his work, would not be possible. And so I hope as we've gone through the hearing process, that everyone in this room has felt like they could participate and continues to do so. And again, it's great to be here on a day like this, celebrating White Cane Day and remembering everybody that we should be working for, that everyone should be welcome in our society and feel that they can get the full benefits of it. And so I'm proud to be here with you today and look forward to celebrating. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Representative Livingstone and Senator Kennedy, for joining us today and supporting such an important cause. This time, I'd like to invite Joe Buzon, Director of Programs and Services at MCB, up to the podium to discuss the importance of white cane and the white cane law.
Thanks, Joe.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Allie. It's truly a pleasure and very proud to be here today in person and to celebrate White Cane Day. So I'm here briefly to talk. Yes, so I think that deserves a round of applause. We are in person, right? It's been too long, and it's really great for our community, people who are visually impaired, to be visible, to be out and about, and to be seen. So with that said, I'm here to briefly talk about the White Cane Law. Chapter 19, Section 14A. Y'all gonna remember that number? But essentially, the importance of this law is to protect pedestrians who are blind and attempting or crossing the way. So individuals who are fully blind or partially blind and are being guided by a guide dog or have a cane or a walking stick that is typically white with red and attempting or crossing a street. An individual who is driving that vehicle should make a full and complete stop. Let me repeat that. That driver should make a complete and full stop. And for individuals who are also in that crossway that are walking simultaneously with that person who's visually impaired and blind, perhaps has an animal, the law also says that that animal with that owner should be in full control, as well it should be on a leash. And these individuals together should not move forward until the safety of that person who's visually impaired and blind is not hurt or injured and can cross safely. With that said, also the law says that if that person who's low vision, and perhaps, as Commissioner Oliver had mentioned, is not using their cane or does not have a cane, but they are low vision or blind, they too are protected by this law. Here is a fun fact about fines. I don't know about so fun, but essentially, if individuals who are driving and do not follow this very important law, they will be fined no less than $100 and no more than $500. Yesterday, Commissioner Oliveira came to my office and he said, what are you going to say today? I said, well, when I cross, John, I take my cane out and I kind of go from my hip and up like that, up. And John goes, you put it over your head like a baton? I said, yes, I do, John. And he goes, you're like an old man, right? John, I'm not lying here, Commissioner. And I said, A, I am old now, John. And second, we have to do what we have to do in the community, because maybe at times I don't feel confident that that person who's driving is going to make that stop. But I think today, with us in person and all of us working collaboratively to educate our community together, maybe someday all of us who are visually impaired and blind will feel confident that perhaps they don't have to flare their cane like myself. So with that said, thank you so much. I want to pass it over back to Allie, and thank you for all your efforts, Allie, in making today happen with the team.
Thank you so much, Joe. So we're here today to celebrate the white cane, its symbol of independence, to spread awareness of the white cane and the white cane law in Massachusetts. I do want to take a moment to recognize some individuals in the room that helped make this process successful, which of course are the certified orientation and mobility specialists. As John mentioned earlier, they work with individuals to distribute appropriate canes, teach cane technique, orient individuals to new environments, whether that's a new home or even a new work site, route training within the community, instruction on safe street crossings, and everything in between. MCB is so lucky to have 4 full-time comms that cover mobility services across the state for MCB consumers. So I'm just going to quickly point them out because they are here today. From Region 1, which is Western Mass, we have Michael Dion. I don't actually know if he's in this. Oh, he's in the back corner. Region 2, which is Central Mass in Worcester County, is Michaela Meany. Oh, she's by the resource tables. In Region 4, which is Metro West, we have Kara Peters. And finally, we in Region 5, which is the Southeast Cape and Islands, we have Karen Barrows. I'd also like to recognize the comms with our community partners, specifically the Carroll Center for the Blind, that help us provide services to individuals in all regions. So we were going to have a quick video here, but we're kind of running short on time, so we're going to skip that, and that will be posted on social media for everyone to view at home on a nice screen of your choosing. So at this time, I'd like to introduce this year's keynote speaker, Kyle Robideau. Kyle has spent his entire professional and personal life working in the community and with local nonprofits. He currently works in the Mayor's Office of Housing as the Assistant Director of the Office of Housing Stability. Previously, he was Mayor Kim Janey's Chief of Staff and the Director of Volunteer and Support Group Services with MABV. He is the Board President with Friendship Works and a volunteer member of the Madison Park Community Development Corporation Real Estate State Committee. Kyle is an avid alpine skier and runner who has completed 10 Boston Marathons and 6 100-mile races. Kyle lives in Roxbury with his wife, daughter, and cat Cuddles. Please join me in welcoming Kyle to the podium.
All right. Well, good afternoon. How are folks doing? Excellent. Well, thank you for indulging me for about the next hour to 90 minutes as I share. I thought I'd kind of talk about for as long as I run. But I did just want to quickly thank and congratulate Commissioner Oliveira, but also the MCB staff. And I did just want to shout out also a big thanks. How about those folks that were helping all of us come into the building? It dawned on me that one of the perks of using a white cane is that you often get to cut the line. So that was very nice. So I have had an interesting, you know, much like everyone here, this is actually an interesting speaking gig because you're all my peers, right, in many different ways. And I first just wanted to start, although I am here in kind of my personal capacity, I would be remiss if I didn't pass along greetings from Mayor Rue and the city government. I do not know if Kristen Commissioner Markosh is here, but also on the city level, strong partners with the state and have huge admiration for Commissioner Markosh and the commitment that the administration has to making sure that we improve and build inclusive built environments. So I am here today as a peer, and it was interesting, about two nights ago, I had the opportunity to attend a speaking engagement with Matthew Desmond, a Nobel Prize winning author who wrote the book Evicted and just came out with a new book called Poverty, in America. And he started his talk by the question around why. So why is there poverty in America? And it got me thinking, why use a white cane? Right? What are the opportunities and the abilities of using a white cane and really drilling down on that why? And I realized that for much of my life, I actually started with the why not, right? And I think everyone may have gone through that similar situation in which you try, at least folks with, I have retinitis pigmentosa, so folks with RP and other situations, you know, we try to put off maybe using the white cane for as long as we can. And I remember I actually had my first orientation and mobility training with the legendary Cynthia Guys in about 2007 when I was working at City Hall. And much like a lot of us, and I remember talking to Commissioner Sainer about this at the time when I started at MABV, I had that training. I thought it was great. You know where my white cane went after that? It went in my bureau. It stayed there for about 5 or 6 years. I didn't want to use it. I didn't want to be identified in that space. And that is still a process that, quite honestly, I'm working through. And it wasn't until I started at MADV in 2013, I had actually never met another person who was blind or visually impaired in my life, except for the doctor's office. And working there gave me the opportunity in thinking about maybe I should start using some of these resources that I'm now directing and talking about. And it was funny thinking about my wife, who for many years, she would comment, you know, as we're riding the train, trying to navigate really busy platforms, even my running, you know, she's like, you don't see the people that you bump into, their reactions, right? Can you just pull out that white cane in your bureau and start using it? It would make my life a lot easier and your life a lot easier as well. Like most men, I have an overinflated sense of ego and pride. So it took me a few years to actually start using that white cane. So I did start using the white cane when I started at MADV. And then what happened was at the time, I'd already been running marathons, but mostly on my own in my own community. So as I started meeting these wonderful athletes, some of you used white canes, some who didn't, I was really proud to have my white cane. I was rocking it at all these expos. I was navigating things. But then I started to meet athletes who weren't using white canes. So then I had conversations with them, and I almost had, like, I almost took a step or two back and be like, wait, maybe I shouldn't be using this white cane. Maybe it's too early. You know, do I also want to have people jump out of the way when I'm walking down the sidewalk to get out of my way? Now I say yes, and I kind of say thank you for doing that, right? So that was an evolution, and I kept on creating these why nots of using my white cane. And I am now, many years later, you know, really proud that I'm at that place where it's the why, right? So what are the benefits of those opportunities that we all gain? And we throw these words around like independence and confidence. Those just aren't words, right? Those are what we live every single day. Every day that we go out, I live in Roxbury. I commute downtown most days for work. I go to my daughter's school, who, as a side note, ironically, is testing today for her driver's permit, which is scary in many ways, partly because, yes, I'm in my early 20s, so it's amazing that I have a kid. I'm not in my early 20s anymore. But it was funny, as she said the other day, she got all excited, she ran down, she's like, Dad, there's a question in my exam. It says, what do you do if you're driving and someone's crossing the street with a white cane? And I'm like, well, how would you answer it? She's like, well, is it you walking or is it someone else? Made me a little nervous, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like, well, start with me. And she's like, I'd probably take you out. But it was wonderful that that question was asked, right? So I think that's part of the awareness that MCB and the Carroll Center and MADV and Perkins, this wonderful, rich community of services that we have in Massachusetts, that's part of the awareness that we're trying to build. But as we all know, there's a tremendous, tremendous amount of work to go. And I often joke that and I'll say this, and I know it's not may not be appropriate, but I truly feel like I'm going to be hit at some point crossing a sidewalk. And it's just a reality that we all live in. And Joey, thank you for talking about that confidence. I may try to use the spear method. I've thought about using the double canes and trying to, like, who can I fend off? But I will be honest with you. I recently started working with Jill Suarez from the Carroll Center and increasing and strengthening my O&M. And she built confidence and also told me, like, stop crossing at crosswalks where there aren't, you know, automated things and just, you know, just general crosswalks. So I think part of using a white cane is recognizing that at times you have to adapt. And everything that we do in life is all about adapting. So I've now moved from just crossing in the rogue crosswalks to now making sure that most of the times where I cross, you know, are on a light and ideally an audible signal. And it's that sense of confidence and stability that Jill and others bring to us, right? And just this week, our office is moving spaces. So I had Jill come and help orient me to my new office space. And I would tell you, I'll be really honest, that it was like the first job that I've like had my, outside of being at MADV, that I've used my white cane all the time. And it's a great identifier. And it's really helped both, I honestly would say that my career, getting to a place where I'm at now, working in the mayor's office of housing, because otherwise I think I would have pulled back, and I don't always have that sense of confidence in trying to do it. And a lot of that has come through my running as well. I've actually used my white cane at times in running, and people often, why run 100 miles? You know, why isn't just walking a mile good enough? And I think walking a mile is amazing. But part of the running for me is, like, everything in life is really learning about how we can be comfortable being uncomfortable. And there's really few things in my life that have made me more uncomfortable than running 100 miles. But I use that to play out every day. So those moments where it kicks up and you get those feelings, we've all felt them, right? Where like, maybe I don't want to have my white cane out, or I'm feeling a little insecure in this environment. I'm meeting new folks, right? The Zoom environment is really amazing, right? I spent the first 2 months with new coworkers on Zoom. And then here I show up in an office, got my white cane out, I'm all pride, and like, and then you can just hear the silence when I walk into the space and people are like, I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't really met you in person yet. So I feel like those are moments of being uncomfortable where you got to push through those. And I think we also have to continue to lift up and talk about the whys, right? And as a community, as a collective, we need to figure out how we kind of embrace the why nots, the folks who may be white cane hesitant, but continue to talk about the benefits. And I think we are all in this space today with those benefits. So I look forward to continuing this journey, both personal and community, with you all as we continue to fight and push forward and continue to answer the question that we all share, is that why? And thank you so very much.
Do you mind standing up for Q&A?
Yeah. Can you get a picture of me up here by chance?
Absolutely. Kyle's going to stay up here, and we have some time to do some question and answer. If anyone in the room has a question for him, please raise your hand. I'm going to bring, I don't know if we have a second microphone, but I can certainly repeat the question through the microphone. So I see a question right up front.
Are you a poor Achilles? I can't tell if you have my teammate.
Yes, I do run with Achilles.
It's Tina over here.
Oh, hey, how are you?
I was drafted by your Instagram.
Yes. Yes. And to hammer the point home, in which I am not no longer in my early 20s, but in my early 20s, I worked with your mom, who is an absolute rock star. So hello, Tina.
We have a question in the back. It looks like a black blazer.
And they're just doing a question and answer session here at the State House. There's not a second mic, so I think they're going to be repeating the question into the mic after the question's been asked.
Thanks for the question. The question was if, in Kyle's opinion, if the local news station should be promoting today's event.
I think the easy answer is yes, and I know that probably the comms folks and MCB did a great job doing it, but I think, you know, to me, the more important thing underneath that is how can we, yes, we want to rely on media to cover these important events, but I think the real responsibility relies in all of us, right? It's to take this message, this energy, this sense of importance and outside of the building, and continue to advocate and lift up the success stories and the need for the work and the white cane and the comms and the funding that we're all trying to push forward. So thank you. That's a great question.
Thank you. I see a hand raised near the entrance of the Great Hall.
No, I'm sorry. You're doing a great job.
So the question was, before you started using your cane, did people encourage you to use it more?
That's a great question. And no, except for my wife, partly because I didn't play in a space that I never met folks who were blind or visually impaired before. I think we could talk a lot about the doctors and the medical care and the eye care that I received that, you know, I wasn't encouraged or thought to be using a white cane. So it wasn't until I started working at MAPV and I had peers who were blind or visually impaired, and it made me kind of learn from them and admire and be inspired by them and know that this is the right time and the right place to start doing that. And I don't necessarily have a lot of regrets in life, but could I have been using a white cane a lot earlier? 100%. Partly as an, or partly as an identifier, right? And I think that's the balancing act that we're trying to figure out, is like, how do we use tools and resources that are available to us that sometimes help us in the immediate, like in the moment, and how much of it helps us as identifiers and bringing awareness to our current situations. And I think the same can be said for, you know, a lot of different ways in which people move through space, whether you're visually impaired or not.
Great, thank you. I'm actually just going to bring this microphone with me because I saw a hand up over here.
Oh. Do you use Braille every day?
Thank you.
Do you use Braille in reading?
Oh, do I use Braille in reading? I do not. So I still have, I've corrected 20/40, 20/60. I do wear glasses, and my visual acuity is down to about 2-3%. So I currently do not, and I would use it as not a shameless plug to say that in addition to building awareness around white cane and so forth, like we need, and I know MCB and others do a lot of work on this, but we need so much awareness and advocacy, and we need to hold our medical providers accountable. Like I remember when I was 11, when I first got diagnosed with RP, I remember flat out the doctor saying, no, he shouldn't learn Braille until he loses all of his sight. And now, 40-something years later, I still haven't used all my sight. And do I wish that that doctor would have encouraged my parents to have me start learning it? 100%.
Thank you. And while I'm walking, I'd just like to add that we do have the Braille bill now. So all students who are blind or visually impaired in the school system, by law, have right to get access to Braille. All right, Karen.
Okay. So, you know, I'm in the vision profession. I was a TVI. Now I work for MCB. And I have a lot of young people who don't want to use their cane. What advice would you give kids who don't want to use their cane?
Oh, hold on, Kyle, I have it. Sorry, we only have one mic today. Okay, there you go.
Awesome. You're going to hit 100 miles by the time this event is done. And I'm going to be here all day, just so folks know. I think that's a great question. I do a lot of public speaking. I hate to call it motivational speaking. I talk to young adults, and I think it's a two-part answer. One, I think we're never going to convince anyone to do anything, right? I think we need to show them, and we need to support them. And we need to, you know, do that in a way in which we're not mandating that they're doing it, but showing the ways in which they can benefit from it. So I do think, and it was interesting, like I loved my O&M training from Cynthia Guys years ago. But in reflecting back, like I think one thing that would have been really helpful for me is like, so it's not just the technical skills that we need to learn using our white cane, right? It's a social emotional component of it. So it would be great if there's an opportunity to build out a program in which folks who get white cane training then get a follow-up, maybe from a peer, and I'd more than happy to volunteer as a peer that follows up with that person who gets a white cane training and saying, how did that feel? What emotions kicked up? What are your reservations? And how can I get you to why, yes, I want to use it? The other piece is I do a lot of talking with young adults who are athletes. And it's interesting that just in Western Mass, I was working with a comms out there on my own personal time. And I offered to speak with the young person about why they wanted to use a sighted guide to run, because they weren't at the time. And I had all these conversations with the young person, and it dawned on me. I said, the barrier is not this young person. It's actually their parents who didn't want him to run with a guide. And as a parent myself, tremendous respect for the work and the things that that parent is working through. But the parents didn't want because of safety, because they didn't want their son to be identified as someone with a disability because of safety reasons. And I get that. I acknowledge it. But But there's a whole lot of work we got to do with parents as well as a family, right? To holistically look at the family and how we're working with folks in getting not only that quote unquote buy-in from the young adult and the end user, but also their support networks are really important as well. And I think we also see that in different cultural communities as well, where folks don't accept or understand what it means to be with a person with a disability. Therefore, their own family members are encouraging them not to use tools like white canes and so forth. So I think we need to also think about like that holistic approach to the services that we're providing.
Hi. Like you, I am very reluctant to use a white cane. And my whole life I've been a really independent person. I'm 83 years old and I'm still working. I have MD and emotionally, I think it's that I don't want to be identified publicly as somebody that needs something. That's all. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to comment on that?
If I had more usual vision, I may try to run over there and give you a hug, but I do appreciate, and I also just want to acknowledge that this is a safe space. So I do hope folks that, you know, in hearing the sharing moments that we kind of keep it to this space. But I do appreciate you sharing that, and I hear you. And I have been there, and I think a lot of folks in this room have been there. And I don't think there's one easy answer to try to figure out how we can, within our own selves, figure out ways to move beyond our hesitations. I did it through therapy. I'll be very honest with you. I was angry as all get out when I lost things that I loved, things like skiing and playing baseball and moving around spaces. And even my wife said, she's like, you are becoming a bitter, at that time, young man. And I didn't realize that a lot of that anger was from loss. So I went to therapy and I worked through it, not completely there yet. But I think the more that we can surround ourselves with a community to try to lean on, whether that's peer support or friends or family members. And I think independence is a really interesting thing, right? So I would reframe a little bit of your concerns and say, like, I feel that I am actually more independent when I use my white cane, right? Because then I'm not staying inside because it's icy or snowy out and I'm nervous about how to manage all the sidewalks that have slush in them or getting through new job opportunities, right? I mean, it was funny. I interviewed for a job a couple of years ago and I scouted out the office building because I wanted to go into that job without using my cane. And I'd been running at the time and doing all this. And my wife is like, are you serious? Like, they can Google your name and within 2 minutes figure out that you are blind. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm not there yet. But I got there. And I think that's a process and it's a journey for all of us. And I think, you know, embrace those feelings because they're real, right? But then try to pivot and adapt to the extent that we can to embrace these really important resources and tools that at the end of the day, not only going to make us a lot safer, but it is going to make us a lot more confident and independent.
Great. We have time for two more questions. I know this young gentleman back here has a burning question.
So, you know what helps me use a white cane? Courage. So, using courage helps me use a white cane at all times. I use it a lot.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. All right, and then we have one more question. I know Courtney, can you deliver the microphone? Yeah. All right, we're going to let you ask him.
Oh, you want me to stand up?
You can have the microphone here.
Oh, great. Hi. I learned to use a cane when I got a job in Chicago. I had 2 hours of training. That's not much for managing the public system, but I did. So, but one of the things I've encountered in going to schools for school panels on disability is, well, I'll look like a girl, or that means people think I can't do anything. And what I try to encourage kids is, you know what? It's your sneaky superpower. And if you can't see at all, you can see in the dark. So I think it's really good to remind people it takes courage to use a cane. It takes courage to know when you need to ask for help. And the freedom you win by those two skills, I think, is incredible. I'm 77. I've traveled around the world. I've lived in India. I've lived in Germany. I've traveled to South Africa. So you know what? Learn to talk to people well and ask for help when you need to. Use your white cane to your best ability. The world is your oyster. That's it.
No, I mean, just the young person who shared, thank you. You should be up here talking to everyone instead of me. And then thank you, ma'am, for sharing those thoughts. And I am going to hang out for a little bit. Always happy to connect here or outside of this space as well. And thanks again to MCB for putting this event together, for all the work that you do.
Thank you so much to Kyle. That was terrific. And thank you for the great questions from everybody. The next segment of our program is brand new to our live in-person event, which is the presentation of the Meg Robertson Mobility Award. As many of you know, Meg Robertson was the former director of orientation and mobility at MCB. And a lot of the time I still get referred to as the, quote, new Meg. She retired in 2021 when this award was created to highlight Meg's hard work, dedication, and advocacy to the blindness community with more than 30 years of service. This award is designed to celebrate the white cane and its impact on the lives of individuals who are blind and visually impaired. This is our third year presenting the award in three separate categories, which are youth, adult, and deafblind extended services. All three award recipients were chosen from nominations that were submitted by an orientation and mobility specialist on their behalf. The award recognizes long cane users of all ages and abilities and motivated individuals that demonstrate mobility skills at their level and incorporate the cane into their lives to increase independence. So we will start with the youth nominations. At this time, I'd like to invite Erin Buckley, who is comms, to the podium to announce the first award winner.
Hello. Can you hear me okay? Okay. So yes, I'm pleased to be here with you today as to represent an award for the Meg Robertson Mobility Award. I'm privileged to be able to introduce my friend Nicholas Hurricane as this year's winner for the youth category. My name is Erin Buckley, and I'm a certified orientation mobility specialist at the North Shore Education Consortium in Beverly. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Nick. As a three-year-old trick-or-treater, one Halloween night, Nick wasn't able to see his mother, and that began his journey with visual impairment. They found a degenerative eye condition, but without a true diagnosis, and then the story became a lot more complicated when he was diagnosed with stage 4 kidney disease. He's one of only 12 in the world that has this condition. So despite being as sick as he was and countless doctor appointments and hospitalizations, this youngster was an enthusiastic learner in the Beverly public school system. It is rare to find a teen that is willing to accept the need for the cane, as we've heard. This one trusted his TBI, Kathy Graham, several comms along the way. That's the comms is the orientation and mobility, I think you know. And he came to respect the cane as a tool. He would, with his longtime comms and fellow North Shore Education Consortium employee, Heather Panico, he would take part in presentations to his classes and teach them about visual impairment and the long white cane. Even the mayor of Beverly even attended one of his presentations. And he used a long white cane and he used a blindfold. Despite the visual impairment that he has, Nick grew up riding a bike, using a hoverboard, always with a helmet, and driving a jet ski, always with someone nearby to alert him of any dangers. Also with Heather Panico, Nick made movies such as What Not to Do with Your Cane, and shared this with other students that have visual impairment in the North Shore, and they shared videos back and forth. They decorated the cane with Christmas lights, and this cane did not slow him down. He even took it with him to the Grand Canyon on a Make-A-Wish trip. In early 2021, Nicholas had a kidney transplant from a longtime family friend and also from Beverly. And the story was in the newspapers and on the news, in the news too. So he's a celebrity of sorts. Took taking time to build his stamina back up to get back into orientation and mobility training. We're back in full swing, and he has told me he does not feel right if his cane is not in his hand. It goes wherever he does. Taking the school bus wasn't possible at first because of his illness, and now he takes his cane on the bus, uses it throughout the school day, and walks home from the bus stop on his own. Together with our weekly lessons, we're working on locating pedestrian signals, using wayfinding apps, crossing busy intersections with lights, without lights, and using the commuter rail, to name a few. One thing that is noteworthy is that having central vision with good acuity could be a reason for many teens to pass, as we've spoken about before, to try and pass as a sighted person. Nicholas is mature enough to realize that the cane protects him and is a symbol of strength and of independence. I'm extremely proud of Nick, and also proud to be part of the team of people who have helped him along the way. Debbie Crosby, a now retired comms, worked with him for several years. Heather Panico, as I've said, many years working with Nick. And I have only worked with him for 2 years, so I can't really take credit for all the great success in orientation and mobility, but I sure am happy to be working with him. Most of all, this is a story of a loving family. Family that bands together to get through life's challenges. I'm sorry. He's been very connected and supported with his mama and papa and his younger sister, Callie. And you are the reason, I'm sorry, and his Matt and Renee Hurricane, I skipped that line, I'm sorry, his parents. And I lost my place, I'm sorry. But you are the reason for Nicholas being the great person that he is and getting through life's challenges, past, present, and future, together. Congratulations. Come on up, Nick. Come on up, Nick.
And they're just getting a picture. We're going to be back to the podium in just a matter of moments. We're bringing you live coverage of White Cane Awareness Day.
I just want to check to see if Mayor Cahill is in here. Oh, perfect. You're welcome to come up. It's a surprise.
Absolutely. Hi, everybody. How are you all doing? Good? Good. Listen, I know this is a big program. I'm going to do this quickly, but I just got to say, I was lucky enough to meet Nicholas when he was pretty young because his grandmother and my mom taught together, and I got to coach Dad, which you know, when we all ran around soccer fields together. But Nicholas, I just want to read this because at the end I get to do something really fun. Nicholas Hurricane Day. There are a lot of whereases about Nicholas, and you've heard some of them, so I'll just kind of skim through them quickly. Whereas Nicholas Hurricane and his family are longtime residents of Beverly and currently live in the Rileside neighborhood of Beverly, and whereas Nicholas was diagnosed with a rare genetic disorder causing both eye disease and kidney disease, leaving him legally blind since he was three. And whereas Nicholas, as I said, I'm jumping, you told Nicholas's story. Nicholas is a junior at Beverly High School, has never let anything stop him from living life to the fullest. And whereas Nicholas uses his cane everywhere he goes, including on public transportation and walking home from the bus stop, and whereas the white cane is recognized around the world as a means for identifying and empowering people who are blind and visually impaired, and whereas, and I'm going to add this one, Nicholas has been advocating with his ward counselor and me to try to get the sidewalks in his neighborhood fixed, and we're going to get to him as quick as we can. We're fixing the lower half of the neighborhood now, this fall. We're going to try to get to the rest of the neighborhood in the spring of next year, and then you'll have a much safer space to enjoy walking in the neighborhood. Whereas today, October 13th, 2023, the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind will honor and award Nicholas Hurricane the third annual Meg Robertson Mobility Award, which recognizes individuals who've used their white cane as a tool for independence. And whereas Nicholas and his family have inspired our community, and his advocacy has and will continue to influence mobility efforts in the city of Beverly. And here's the fun part, because you really deserve this, Nick. Now, therefore, in celebration of Nicholas's perseverance and independence, as well as this accomplishment, I, Michael P. Cahill, Mayor of Beverly, do hereby proclaim Friday, October 13th, 2023, as Nicholas Hurricane Day in the city of Beverly. So Nicholas, that'll now be up on the city website and out on all our social media and to the newspapers, and we'll make sure that everybody knows and celebrates you all over town. Thank you and congratulations.
Congratulations, Nick. That is terrific. Before the next presentation, I just want to check to see if Victoria Nguyen was able to make it today. Oh, great. Okay, I'm going to invite you up to present the next award.
Hello, everyone. Let me just pull up. All right. So I just wanted to thank everyone for being here to support such a fabulous situation. I have had the pleasure of working for a community-based day program for the past 70 years. And within my time there, I have a caseload of 60 currently, and I was very lucky to meet one gentleman named Edward Machado. So within the past 7 years, there's been a pandemic. We have moved locations for our CBS program, and life has changed a lot. With that being said, Ed is in his adult years, and he said to me when the pandemic ever started, I don't know if I'll be able to do this, because the day we actually ended up moving locations, Ed is when we were told the program was shutting down, and that they could not come into the program because COVID-19 was a thing, and it changed a lot. So luckily I was able to work with Ed, his mobility specialist from Wrentham, who unfortunately was not able to make it today, Georgia. They worked very, very closely with Ed, with myself, and made it so we were able to go into the house and support him in ways while he was home and not able to come to the program at the time. So it was a huge, I guess, hurdle to overcome, because it at the time when he was expressing he wasn't able to do it, it was happening, and he was being told he had to. Again, he had made significant strides. He already did such amazing things. He had an amazing routine. I mean, he knew where everything was. He had to learn a whole new program with COVID restrictions that were given to us by the Department of Developmental Services. So again, they are a fabulous community for us, but they also aren't the individuals dealing with all the changes. So it was a very amazing team that he had that continued to support him. I can't wait for you all to meet him. He's going to come up here and introduce himself. He's a fabulous human, and I'm glad that he is part of this community and that I have been able to work with him and indulge in his life. So, Ed Machado, everyone.
Thank you.
We'd like to welcome Ed up to the podium to receive his plaque. And I guess while he's making his way up here, I don't think it was actually announced that he is the winner of this year's 2023 Meg Robertson Mobility Award in the Deafblind Extended Supports category.
Oh, the microphone. I got it.
There you go. Perfect.
Just a little high.
Thank you for the award I got today. I never expected this, really. And it's a very big award. And thank you for giving it to me. And I work very hard. And I do anything out there. You know, without the sight. I do got sight, but not that much. And I've been very busy.
Thank you for being here today.
What? Okay. So, thank you again.
Thank you, Ed. Congratulations.
That was awesome,
thank you.
Ed. I love that. Good work, buddy.
Ed's already leading us all around the Great Hall. All right, and for the adult winner of the Meg Robertson Mobility Award in 2023, I'm going to invite up Kira Sweeney for the presentation.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon.
My name is Kira Sweeney, and I'm a civil rights attorney in the Boston area. And I have the absolute honor and pleasure to introduce an extraordinary individual for the Meg Robertson Mobility Award. And his name is Syed Rizvi. So Syed is a role model and a leader in the blind community. He is a third-year law student at Harvard Law School. Now, that's pretty impressive. And I think if I were to tell you about all of Syed's accomplishments, we would be here all day and all night. So I'm going to tell you about his orientation and mobility-related accomplishments. So Syed, in 2016, completed a rigorous training program at the Louisiana Center for the Blind. And I know how challenging this program is because I went to a very similar program in Colorado. And I had the opportunity to speak with one of Syed's mentors and someone who was actually an instructor for him at the time when he was at the Louisiana Center, named Justin Salisbury, who I know wishes so much that he could be here today, but he's in Wisconsin. And so I spoke with Justin a little bit about Syed and his experiences. And Justin mentioned that Syed came to training in 2015. He had just lost his vision, and he was not super confident about getting around, and he didn't use a cane much. And during the training, that all changed. He was required to use the cane at all times and also to wear sleep shades so that he wouldn't be relying on any remaining vision. So during the training, he had to plan and execute routes to places that he'd never been, and complete independent drops where you're dropped off somewhere and you have to find your way back to the center. And he also navigated through Mardi Gras with the cane and sleep shades, which is very impressive to me. And so he did all of that, and he successfully completed the program. And after that program, he was comfortable enough to transfer from a small college to a big university. And he is a proud and confident cane user. He uses the cane everywhere, from the law school classroom to corporate boardrooms to busy city streets to construction sites and the weight room and really everywhere in between. And next year, after he graduates from law school, he'll be taking his cane to Houston, Texas, where he is joining the law firm Vincent and Elkins as an associate. And so that'll be great, and he will be using his cane skills there, I'm sure, and they will benefit him a lot through that and through all of his life's adventures. So it's my honor to introduce you all to the 2023 Meg Robertson Mobility Award winner in the adult category, Syed Rizvi.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Kira, so much for such an amazing introduction. This cane has led me through the streets of third world countries and through the halls of Harvard Law School. It is much more than just a mere tool of mobility and navigation. Rather, it is a symbol of the resilience and the tenacity of the blind. I am so grateful to so many people in this room, from Joey Buzon to John Oliveira and Carl Carson, for believing in me in times that I didn't even believe in myself. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for this honor.
I'm presenting you with a plaque that has some braille on the front of it, with your name. And then if you turn towards like 11, yeah. Thank you so much. Congratulations.
All right, so at this time I'm going to invite up Michael Ciccone, who is MCB's Director of Communications.
Good morning, everyone. So I know there was a gentleman who had a question earlier who wanted WCVB and all the news stations here. So this is a perfect opportunity for us to talk about awareness and all the awareness we've been making with the white cane, and specifically about the white cane law. And as you can imagine, it's a monumental effort. How do you inform millions of Massachusetts drivers about the white cane law and provide that reminder? And we can't do that alone. So at this time, I would like to welcome up here two of my colleagues from the state, both Nicole Spriggs from the RMV and Jerry Kelleher from MassDOT. So right now, and throughout the month of October, there is a billboard display at approximately 200 locations across the Commonwealth. And it talks about the white cane law, how October is white cane awareness month, and that the white cane law requires drivers to stop for the white cane and dog guide users, and reminding them that it's the law in Massachusetts. And that is all thanks to the gentleman behind me, Jerry Kelleher. I think anytime Jerry sees an email from me in his inbox, he probably wants to scream. We've exchanged dozens and dozens of emails, but getting those billboards up on those, you know, displays across the state is not possible without Jerry and the support of MassDOT. And he's really helped us with, you know, the designing of a new billboard this year and making sure that it's effective and really catches the attention of drivers. So let's give a round of applause for Jerry. And then also, so if you go into one of the R&B service centers across the Commonwealth, there is a 30-second public service announcement that's on those monitors that you see throughout those service centers. And that is thanks in part to Register Ogilvie, who's also with us today. And she's in the back there waving to us. And Nicole Spriggs, I first interacted or met Nicole last year and reached out about the possibility of doing you know, something with the RMV to help raise awareness, and it was an instant, you know, how can we help, how can we collaborate, and she really takes the initiative on her own to there's a lot of tweets on the RMV Twitter account. She helped us get that display on the service center boards. I know when I reached out to her this year, I was doing emails late at night, I think on a Monday, and I was like, oh, let me fire this one off before I forget. It's like 9 o'clock at night, and 2 minutes later, Nicole's like, what can we do? Same video as last year, new video. Let's help promote White Cane Day. So let's give a round of applause to Nicole. So we do have here a plaque for both Nicole and Jerry in recognition and with appreciation for their support in promoting the white cane law at both the RMV and MassDOT. So this is for you. We have one for Jerry as well. And we also have some Braille American flags for them as well. So just thank you, you know, from everyone at MCB and for your support and for helping raise awareness of the white cane law. Thank you. A couple of other awareness events, you know, you will see a press release later today going out about White Cane Day. Another question I get a lot is, you know, the driver's manual. So I have a copy of that here in my hand, page 41 and 83, if anyone ever asks you. Specifically talk about the white cane and the importance of obeying the white cane law and the proper steps to take. We've also done a number of other outreach initiatives this year. We have launched a new webpage, mass.gov/whitecane, which has anything and everything you want to know about the white cane there. So I would encourage you to check that out. We also worked with some of our community partners and stakeholders to share a promotional toolkit with some social media graphics and videos for them to share. We've got a lot of posts on our social media accounts as well, testimonials from residents of Massachusetts who use a white cane, so please do take a look at those. There's also a ad in the Boston Globe, today's edition of the Boston Globe, that talks about White Cane Awareness Month. So it really is a ongoing, monumental, Herculean effort to get the word out there, and we can't do it alone, so we really do thank our state partners, MassDOT, the RMV, and really the whole team up at EHS, from Secretary Walsh, Under Secretary Magone, Tom Statuto, who is the Deputy Legislative Director, and the communications team of Carolyn, Olivia, Sophie, and Cecile. So thank you all for being here, and have a great day.
Okay, and I believe that's going to conclude our coverage of White Cane Awareness Day. Actually, hold on 1 second. We're going back to the podium.
Great. Oh, you are. Okay, Mike is getting the raffle set up right now. So we actually have a surprise raffle. This is our first time doing this. We had a consumer who's from MAB Community Services.
And we're going to keep it here for just a little bit longer just to see if anything else is happening after the raffle.
They're actually both in acrylic paint.
This is White Cane Awareness Day 2023.
So the first one
from the Massachusetts State House, coming to you on the Talking Information Center and the Audio Information Network.
By Jeff Paquette, also known as Jeffy Dukes. So the title of this painting, I think it is Goods. G-O-O-D-S, and it is blue and shimmery, and it's 6 inches by 6 inches, and it's looks like an underwater scene. So, okay. So, Mike, I'll hand it to you to announce.
It's Aaron Frigola.
Aaron Frigola from Perkins, yeah? He's here somewhere. Aaron, you won. You won the surprise raffle. Thanks for attending today. All right, and then the second canvas that we have that we're raffling off. I'm not sure what that says. What do you think that says? Previewed seat?
Driver's seat.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. So this painting is an 8 by 11, I believe I had seen earlier. I don't see it on here now. And it seems to be like a burgundy background with some gold embellishments, also in acrylic paint. 8 by 10. All right, and Mike is spinning the wheel now. So we put every registrant's name in the raffle, and that's how we're picking the winners. Laurie Sherry White. Are you here? Okay. We'll spin again. Oh, Amy Van Loo. Where is she? She's here today. She's MCB staff in Region 3. I can deliver this to her later. Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone. At this time, I'm going to invite Commissioner Oliveira back up for some closing remarks.
Wow, what a tremendous program. And I have to close it out. All right. So it's been a great day here today. And this event in person is tremendously much more active and participatory than anything we could ever do on Zoom. And it's great that we have done this here today. And it's all been about the white cane, the users of the white cane and the dog guides, and getting around safely, independently in your neighborhood, confidently, and showing the people around you, your world around you, your friends, your family, your neighbors, that you too can travel around and move around independently, and it is a safe place when you're using your cane or your dog guide. So I'd like to also to congratulate the Meg Robertson Award winners. And for many years, Meg worked here. She was my instructor way back when, and she was a great instructor, and she worked with thousands and thousands of individuals and had a positive impact in her life and in their lives. And we're proud to give her that opportunity, the honor that we show her, that we're going to remember all of the great work she did for MCB. So what I ask the winners of that award today to do, and I know that you will, is talk to those folks. If you meet someone who's legally blind and is reluctant on using a cane, give them the information, give them your feelings, talk to them, and encourage them that they will get freedom and independence and be able to make choices that they probably wouldn't make if they did not feel that their mobility skills are good and that they could be, go wherever they need to go and do it safely and be confident in themselves. So do that. I want to thank the team at MCB, the committee led by Allie and everybody else that was on the committee, the folks that were here today, the staff that came out to assist everyone into the building today. Although we have a little surprise notice this morning when we got here that one entrance was closed and required everyone to make quick adjustments at the last minute. That's what we do at MCB. We're ready to move and react and respond and work to make sure that our consumers get the best services they can get. And I'd like to thank the Perkins School for the Blind, provided some delicious refreshments for you today. And so make sure you grab something on the way out if you hadn't had a chance to get something today. And our partners, you know, Perkins, we partner in a lot of different programs, Carol Center, many other providers that we work with. They're all in with us. We're all working with the same consumers. We're all trying to get those consumers to the best that we can get them so that they can enjoy their lives and live a full, productive life and contribute in their community and participate wherever they choose to participate. We'd like to also thank the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. John Shea is here. They're recording this broadcast, and they're going to be broadcasting it on the Massachusetts Radio Reading Network, or Maine, I'm sorry. They will be broadcasting it on all the affiliates. So those who were not able to be here today will have a chance to listen in the comfort of their home and enjoy the same celebration that we enjoyed here today. And you know, we've had a lot of thank yous, but I do want to thank Mike Ciccone, our communications director. Let's give him a big hand. He does a lot of work. And he's the man behind the scenes. He's out there making those calls. He's out there sending me emails at 9 p.m. at night saying he just came up with something or just wrote something up and just completed a brochure. He does a lot of great work behind the scenes, and we appreciate all the work that he does. So thank you very much. You have a great day. Again, we'll hope to do this next year. And it's, another successful event here. And tell your friends, your neighbors about what you were at today. Talk to them about the white cane and remind them about the white cane law. And that we're here, we're out in their community, and we appreciate them respecting the white cane when they see it as we approach those tricky intersections and just attempt to get from one side of the street to the other. Thank you so much, and have a great day.